You're about to hear Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy on the FIR Podcast Network.
This is Mitchell Levy, and welcome to episode 114 of Thought Leader Life. This has been a phenomenal month with Jacob Warwick, who is spectacular in terms of figuring out what we're going to talk about, but putting the right players together so we can have a great set of conversations. He's a copywriter, brand storyteller, and as you could tell from the questions going back and forth and the rapport that's happening with all our guests, he's just an overall good guy. Jacob, thanks for joining us for the
podcast. Thanks so much, Mitchell. Fortunately, all the people I bring on make me look good, so I don't have to do too much, but I appreciate being here.
Well, I think that's sort of by design, my friend. It just sort of works that way. You go with the flow and it works well. And our last guest, everyone, will be no different. She's amazing. Had a great call with her yesterday. It's Sarah Nagel, the community outreach manager of Sprout Social. You are the epitome of what we're talking about, which is authenticity. And Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Mitchell. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, super cool. So, hey, so here's the first question. It's the one we sort of talked about with most everyone. For the millennial generation, what does authenticity mean to you, and is it really important?
Yeah, so authenticity to me means being unique. It means being not copied. So I think for our generation, In what I've done here at Sprout, I've branded myself as Sprout Sarah, and I think in doing so, I've been able to connect with a wide range of people professionally, but then also on behalf of myself. I don't think there's any real separation between your personal and your professional digital presence anymore. So what I've done is I've connected with people as Sarah Nagel, who I am. You know, I am interested in community management, but I'm also really obsessed with my dogs, and I like jumping on my trampoline in my backyard, and, you know, I love a good craft beer, so I love being able to connect with people digitally and in person, and doing so as my full self, and that's what being authentic means to me.
You know, I got to connect you on Facebook because I want to see videos of you jumping on the trampoline in the backyard.
I was just on it this past weekend, and it's a blast, and I'm so glad we have it.
I'm just curious, where in Chicago can you have a trampoline?
I live out in the suburbs, so oh, okay. I'm about 30 miles west of the city. We have a decent-sized backyard, and I'm able to have a full-size trampoline as an adult.
I'm so jealous.
Something well I never had as a kid, and I think I kind of did it to spite my parents, to say, look at what I can do. Now that I own my own house, I can have a trampoline too.
So what this is not an or maybe this is an authentic question. So you are authentically identified with the company, mm-hmm. and you have your Twitter handle as Sprout Sarah. What happens at some point in time if you decide to leave, or Sprout makes so much money, it goes public and you could retire, but then, you know, you go somewhere else. What happens to the handle Sprout Sarah? What happens to, I mean, for everyone who does sort of those things, what do you think makes sense? What does the company think? What do you think? What's the right approach?
Yeah, I think this is a really tough question, and it's something I've been asked multiple times before. I've seen a number of other people have a co-branded handle as well, and I've seen them take the handle with them when they leave the company. I just think it's kind of dependent on the situation, right? Like every company, an employee needs to cross that bridge when they come to it. I've been here about 3 years and haven't considered leaving. It's not something I plan to do anytime soon. So, again, I think it's something that I'll address when the time comes. But in terms of who owns it, I mean, I really go back and forth on it because I initially created it because the role I was taking on here was doing a lot of connecting on social, right? So it was being on different groups on different social networks like Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. It was spending time on Quora and Reddit and connecting with other social media and community pros. I'll probably stay in this career, so all of those channels and those conversations would still be relevant to me in the future. But those relationships that I've created, I think that those I'll keep with me no matter what. So that's something that, you know, even if the handle does need to stay with the company just based on what they decide at that time, it still doesn't mean that I've lost connection with all of those people. And in doing my job, I've been very fortunate to be able to connect with hundreds and thousands of people in the industry through hosting our weekly Twitter chat, through all of these different social networks, through in-person events that I've attended in San Francisco and New York, another one coming up in San Diego. So those are what I really cherish out of the experiences I've had here at Sprout.
It's the people. That makes sense. And Jacob, you probably run across this. I just do a lot with all my friends who are social selling consultants, and the big issue they have, and one of the bigger issues, and maybe it's more relevant. I just don't know. I hadn't really thought about it from social media. Maybe it's more relevant for sales guys, but you go to a company, you're a salesperson, you build the list, who owns it, right? And I think it goes with the person, but I liked your answer that it's just a good conversation to have with the company.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Go ahead, Jacob.
No, go ahead. You're fine. Okay.
I think it's something that a lot of businesses are thinking more about too, is they're creating these social media policies and activating employee advocacy initiatives like that. I think that this issue will definitely become more front and center.
Yeah, I've kind of experienced this a few times in the past where particularly smaller companies are wary of employees that have personal brands. It can be difficult because they don't want to have to cross that bridge or have to battle over leads lists or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, to be authentic, you're going to be generating real relationships, not lead relationships. You're not going to see, like, I don't see Sarah as a lead. I don't see you, Mitchell, as a lead for business. I see you as a human, as a friend of mine. And at the end of the day, like, okay, the company can have my friends as leads, and if whatever I tell them, like if I say, hey, that company's going to spam you, that you guys are just going to be like, okay, I'll ignore it. Or, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, being authentic is going to be creating real relationships. So I know if Sarah were like, oh, man, it's been 5 years at Sprout, and I've got this great opportunity to run my own community management company or whatever she decides to do, if she just sends any of her friends a message like, this is what I'm up to now, and she doesn't have the Sprout handle, you'll migrate all the people that are really important to you.
Yeah, but I think, well, you brought up a good point, and maybe this is part of the authenticity piece, and that is the relationship, and this is what companies need to recognize. The relationship is not necessarily with the company, it's with the individual. And I mean, I've seen Sprout Social, I've looked at it a couple times, I just never jumped on. There's so many tools. I don't know where to start, right? And because of my conversation with Sarah yesterday, I'm absolutely going to do a 30-day trial and play with it and figure out if it makes sense, right? But that's because of you, Sarah. You sold me. But you didn't sell me at all, right? You didn't go there and say, do this, right? It's because I liked you and trust you that you caused me to want to play with the company, right? And I don't think companies, the type of companies you're talking about, Jacob, they don't quite get it yet.
Well, I mean, that's like social selling 101. I mean, and it's a touchy subject because you don't want to treat people like, again, like leads or, you know, have some kind of motive behind it. But just by being, you know, kind of authentic and you're sharing what it is you're doing openly and you're having open conversations about your dog or your trampoline or things that are relatable, eventually if it makes sense, it'll make sense and you'll want to work with, like, I used to work a lot with Buffer and now I just don't see the need to because Sprout does everything I need as well and I know the team a little bit better. I mean, Buffer does a great job with their outreach as well. I mean, I love their articles. They write great content, but I mean, like, Sarah will call my cell phone or text me and be like, hey, what's going on, dude? Like, I'm in town. You want to get a beer? Like, that's community management. And it's not selling. It's just, you know, it's just being a human.
And I will say in opposition to that, too, I was recently checking out a company, a tool, a software tool, in order to use for our community. I met some of the team members in person at a conference. Really hit it off. Really liked them. Ended up having a sales call with another team member the following week and just was really turned off. The salesperson, obviously I know that their job is to, you know, make a profit to get me to sign up. But he took over the allotted amount of time that he had said. We were going on, I think, an hour and 15 minutes, and it was the end of the day, and I was just kind of exhausted and had had enough. He acknowledged that several times that he was going over. And my conversation with him was like, I need to go. And he continued on and continued on. And honestly, it was to a point that I was like, no, like, he didn't connect with me as a human. All he cared about was his agenda. And that to me is insanely inauthentic. And all of the work that they had done before that to build up that relationship was erased because of that experience.
Wow.
Well, so here's what I've experienced in a similar scenario there. So, I mean, because you had a good experience with the content managers or whoever it is you met, mm-hmm. you know, I would say that you're probably more likely to give them feedback on how the sales experience went mm-hmm. and give mm-hmm. it authentically. Like, hey, I was really turned off because of this. And because of that they were authentic and reached out personally, you feel comfortable giving them real feedback rather than just it's spam, leave me alone, no feedback whatsoever. You're fueling improvement for their company. Should they choose to use it or not, that's up to them. But in my experience, when that happens, and if my marketing or whatever turns someone off, or if I got Sprout emails, like I'll get automated Sprout emails or put into a drip campaign, and I'll actually respond to it. And if I see a problem that I don't like, hey, this doesn't really target me, I'll respond to the email and be like, your marketing's not targeting me. Here's why, X, Y, Z. And then your marketing team can storyboard it. But normally I wouldn't give it. Normally I would just spam it or delete it, right? Mm-hmm. But because you've made the effort to reach out, I feel like by helping them, it helps you and everyone kind of grows together.
Completely. And I think the main point there too is to advocate people like you, but then also think about how to scale that. So it's not only building that relationship with you, but making sure that you feel comfortable enough to tell 10 other friends about that too. Or if one of your colleagues or contacts is frustrated by an email campaign of ours or a salesperson or what have you, you would be there to back us up too. Right. And that's kind of where we've built this big advocacy program, which I'm heading up this year, and why those relationships are so important.
It's interesting. You gave me an aha moment. Although it may not, and it might be for your next Sprout package product. Because you think about this. I'm sitting here. I got 50,000 followers on Twitter, and when something negative happens to me, one of my initial thoughts is, hey, maybe I should just tweet this out. But see, I'm more of a half full guy versus half empty, and I really don't unless I'm on my last leg, I don't want to say negative stuff. And so you don't initially, if your authentic self is to be positive, you don't want to actually share this negative stuff publicly. So what I was thinking about, wouldn't it be cool if some company created a glass door for social selling, right? So, you know, the glass door for employees, right? So because you should be able to give your feedback knowing that the management team at that company is going to hear, but it's not – it doesn't have to be public, and it doesn't have to be associated with you. And now, it's an interesting idea. I haven't figured out how to monetize that yet, but we need
it. One person on the selling team, they'll know who it was. They're like, hey. Well, maybe Glassdoor for marketing would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. We need that. Okay, VCs listening. There must be a company today. I think that's an idea that'll work. So why don't you guys talk about how you met, or why don't you start, Sarah, with because what your role is as a community manager, and how do you sort of pick up and build and interact with your community? Because the fact how you guys met and interacted was a very interesting story as well.
Sure. Jacob, where did we first meet? Twitter, obviously.
Yeah, right? Obviously.
And then was it a Sprout chat? I can't.
It was a little bit of both. I was working with Brian Honigman.
Uh-huh.
Was working with you guys pretty closely. Uh-huh. So he said, hey, check out their Twitter chat. You'll learn some stuff. And you were leading the Twitter chat. And so I was pretty actively learning how to participate in Twitter chats and also helping Brian run his Twitter chat. And I've met a lot of great people through Twitter chats, and it seems like from the outside, you're like, man, that seems like a ridiculous way to talk about things, like 140 tweets at a time. Like, you're answering some questions seem like no-brainers, and sometimes you get wild answers, and you're like, why would you tolerate an hour with 250 to 500 Twitter notifications? And I've actually met a lot of great people, both in person and in business, through Twitter chats. So I think that's kind of how we got started, which is interesting that, hey, there's a return on that, even though it's not necessarily documented.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love our spread chat. It's something that we started in June of 2014. And, you know, each week we just try to come up with new topics centered around challenges that social media and community managers face. I typically try to notify different people that have participated in the chat before to get them to come and join each Wednesday. But we do get a really wide range of people. We've had a number of students come. There's actually a professor in Texas who mandates attending several Twitter chats a semester for her students.
I think it's
there you go. I mean, I just think that is so cool that students in today's classrooms are able to get online and learn so much from actual people in the industry firsthand through an experience like a Twitter chat. Our community is huge. I mean, we usually average about 1,000 people attending, a thousand tweets, and maybe 80 or so people attending each chat. So it's been amazing to be able to connect with so many people in the industry. From each chat, we compile a piece of content, a blog post, and I wanted to really be able to scale that out a little bit further just because there is so much knowledge within each chat from such a variety of backgrounds and perspectives too.
Yeah, so I think you brought up a couple of important things. One, the way that you can engage with the community, and which is how we met. I was interested in learning more about Twitter chats, and the Sprout chat happened to be kind of related to my field. So when I noticed that Sarah had been doing this for quite a long time, I was open to engaging with her because I was like, hey, let's talk about it. Like, can I help you in any way? Like, what kind of challenges do you have? Mm-hmm. It kind of opened the door for creating that conversation. Mm-hmm. The other important part is that there's a lot of repurposing coming out of that. So yes, you mentioned that you can create a blog post out of, you know, just the chat itself. But when you have 1,000 tweets, and these are kind of like your aha moments, you have little bits of information that can inform strategy moving forward. So, or blog posts. So let's say your guest of the week was Brian Honigman, and he dropped like one tweet that was just so good. And you're like, wow. And it's 140 characters. You can read all of them. You go, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter if 900 of them slip right past you. Those couple that catch your attention, you go, oh, wow, we could really dive into this and write an article. And then when you create that article, odds are more people are going to be interested in reading that. Mm-hmm. So you're learning about your business while engaging with the community and creating. It's like it kills so many birds with one stone. It's insane. So that's how Sarah and I met, and it's evolved from there to conferences and meeting in San Francisco and all kinds of things.
Yeah, but part of it – oh, by the way, you got me salivating because I'm thinking a Sprout chat should absolutely also end up producing an aha book because grabbing 140 quotes out of 1,000, you're picking the best of the best and one more thing that could be amplified. Mm-hmm. But I think what happened, Jacob, is that when Sarah was actually coming to San Francisco, then she also invited you to events, and the invitation wasn't, hey, come to my event and go and do this stuff with me, and then you should do this other stuff. I mean, it came from the heart, right? It was a little more authentic than the relationship was real, not a conjured relationship.
Right. We were going to a networking event that Sprout was holding, so. The benefit for me was that I got free beer and got to talk to great people. The downside was that there wasn't really a downside for me. I mean, like, I spent an hour of my time, which I would have more than happy to have gone to anyways, an event that probably should have been paid for. And so there was just value there. And you learn more about Sprout. You got to meet the team. And I was already interacting with a lot of these people online. So putting a face to the name is much more important to me. Even, you know, Skype only does so much, right? I mean, putting an actual face to the name and say, I met Sarah in person. She's not fake. Like, you can say anything behind a computer, right? I can look like I could be like the biggest expert in the world and I can say all these things, but you don't really know until you've met me and you can talk to me and we can be authentic with each other and share where we're good and where we need help. And you're much, it's much easier to do that in person than through writing. I think that writing is very difficult to get right. I mean, I understand that as a copywriter, any words that you say can be taken the wrong way. So on social, if you're trying to say that you don't have experience or in something or you need help somewhere, you can look like maybe an amateur, or you don't know what you're doing, or you know, you have these problems where I'm just never going to say anything negative or that something that could be taken the wrong way. You're all politically correct. But that in person, you don't have that. You can really build relationships that way.
And I'm really glad I met you because I just thought you were some guy who wore a suit in the woods. So yeah,
well, thanks. I actually really
just like your avatar.
I really like that picture. So I'm not going to change
it. You're not going to change it. Fair enough. No, I mean, I totally agree with you. I don't think that there's any replacement for meeting someone in person. We're all building these digital relationships and these digital lives through different social networks. But, I mean, honestly, when you get to spend a couple hours with someone, have a couple drinks with them, I just think that there's nothing that can replace that. Just recently, I was in San Francisco at AdvoCamp, like we were talking about before, and a colleague of mine introduced me to the marketing manager at Marketing Profs. And literally, other than a couple tweets with Rob Zaleski.
I love those guys.
Yeah, he's amazing. A couple tweets, and we decided to meet at a bar. I assured my husband there is nothing weird going on.
No.
With a random guy I met online at a bar. That's not odd or anything. But we completely hit it off, and we ended up spending most of the conference together. Like, we were just like old friends so quickly. And it came from, you know, our shared backgrounds and in our professions. But it literally started from a couple tweets and someone who vouched for each of us, right? So I love that meeting in person. I think that's key.
Yeah, I got to I talked to Anne Hanley the other day just because I bought her book. Even though being a writer and – oh, here's shameless promotion. it was cool that, you know, those guys really know what they're talking about and they seem, you know, really put together. But I've never met them in person. And you invited me to AdvoCamp and I just couldn't go. But I wanted to, trust me. And she also I don't really use Snapchat anymore, but she sent me a snap and she's like, hey, Jay Bear is talking. And she was like so excited that she was shaking. And I was literally, I just called him like, you're fangirling so bad. Like, Jay's so cool. And it's just like, he's like this god in our industry. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah. I adore Jay. And that was the first time I had met Jay in person at AdvoCamp. And we've partnered with him as a brand before. But when I went up to him after he spoke, I was like, hey, Jay, it's Sarah from Sprout Social. I like made sure to announce who I was really quickly. And he greeted me with a hug. He gave me a big hug and he said, hey, Sarah, it's really, really nice to see you. I was like, we've never met. But he was just so warm and welcoming. And it definitely made me champion and advocate even harder for him.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan. He's always responded. I've asked him one time to contribute to an article and he's like, here, how does this work? I'm like, wow, that's really great. Like, I know you've seen me online before, but I mean, that's really cool. And when I fly out to, I'm flying to Indianapolis in a couple days, I'm going to go try to say hello, but he's never around. We'll see.
Yeah. I've done the Bloomington. He lives in the city where I went to college at Indiana University.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my best friend is now an IndyCar driver located in Indianapolis.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
I'm going to try to get Jay some tickets to the Indy 500, then maybe he'll hang out with me.
a small bribe.
Yeah, right? No big deal.
It might work. So, I mean, but you guys brought up a very interesting point, and that's regardless of how big you are in the industry, if you could be you – And this is much more accepted now than it was when I was growing up. I don't feel when I was in the corporate space that I was actually me. I was the person who I thought my boss wanted me to be. And ever since leaving the corporate world, I've always been me. And regardless of how big my head gets, or regardless of when I see some of these people who are just really huge in their space, some of them deal with it appropriately, right? And obviously Jay must be one of them because how he interacts and interacted with you. But sometimes, and this is for the up-and-coming thought leaders and brands that then one day you're going to make it. And when you make it, whatever then that may mean, don't forget that you're still you, right? That you could still be a person, and that if somebody who may or may not have the same brand as you asks you for a favor, if it makes sense and you can do it quickly, do it, not for any other reason than it makes sense to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what authenticity really means, is you don't change, you don't be somebody else.
One thing I like to live by is to always give and be incredibly more generous than you think you should be. And I think that that's just kind of a good standard to set, right, for anything, any aspect of your life. You know, not to be cliche, but, you know, everyone fights their own battles. And I think it's worthwhile to give as much of yourself as you can and always put your best self forward in every interaction.
How is that, Sarah, how has that paid for you in the past? Or, and feel free to talk about, you know, the community that you're building, and tell me some good story that makes sense, that's sort of easy to relate to.
Yeah, well, I think in building up to starting Sprout Chat, one thing I did was make it a point to attend 3 or 4 Twitter chats per week. So I was, you know, giving an hour of my time to all of these other people's agendas, right? They wanted me to come and attend their Twitter chat, give some interesting insights, spend an hour with their community and discuss industry topics. And when I went to go start our Sprout chat, I was a little nervous about getting attendance just because it was our first one. And I, you know, mentioned all of these people, all of these chats that I had attended throughout the past year before, and sure enough, everyone came to my support and was there to participate in my chat. So I think there's a number of marketers who preach this, but it's that give, and then ask mentality. And I think that can be applicable in so many different ways.
Yeah, I've sort of built my career on that, and then I realized that I do a lot of, like, I'll give, and then I don't ever have anything to ask because I didn't really have a plan for it. And then somewhere down the line, they come up with something for you. Like, they connect a dot for you and be like, hey, I just thought this was relevant because it's in marketing and you like racing, and, you know, like some random thing is like, wow, how did you know? Like, how did you make that connection for me? And it's just from giving all the time. And I think this is important to get us back on top with millennials. The brands that are doing it well are doing it really well. And those companies that are authentic and their branding, and if it could be a company as large as Taco Bell with their Snapchat marketing, however they're doing it really authentically, they're raising the bar for other companies. So millennials see these companies that are really killing it, and they expect every other company to respond that way. How would you manage that as a smaller organization when you don't have necessarily the manpower or the budget to make sure that your PR is that pristine?
Yeah, amazing. Nice wrap up. I liked it. And I'm shocked once again at 30 minutes being done so quickly.
So was that already?
Yeah, I know, really. So Sarah, is there a question that we should have asked you, or is there a way you'd like to sort of wrap up the session that we didn't talk about? And of course, how can people best get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, in the spirit of authenticity, you didn't ask me how I got that backyard trampoline. I actually got it when I registered for our wedding gifts, and put it right on my registry, and my cousin thought it would be funny to purchase it for me. And sure enough, before we actually moved into our house, she had it set up in our backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
My husband walked in the next day and was like, what is that? And I was like, yes, my trampoline's here. So everything was kind of a surprise to him. But, yeah, he's never been on it. And I go on it about once every month. So not very often either. And he always has to move it when he mows the lawn. So it's a big fun joke. Anyways, that's a little bit more about me, so you know.
I should have known. I should have asked that question, but you know.
You just thought I went out and bought it myself. No,
I thought you had a Costco membership, exactly. And hooked it up. One day you saw a dealer with me, yes.
And I was like, that is going on.
So you don't fall off.
Yeah, I'll have to think of some more toys that I can incorporate into our house. It's just going to be like a big fun house. But yeah, this was so much fun. People can find me on Twitter @Sprout_Sarah with an H. That's really the best way to get a hold of me. I'm on there all the time, and obviously I have a really great tool, Sprout Social, to connect with people and respond to all those social messages.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Sprout will let you know when your name is mentioned or the brand is mentioned and tasks it to you so you can make sure to respond to everyone in a timely manner. It's super handy. It also mm-hmm. measures your average response time and things like that. I know all of this about the company because I've used it, and there's no money whatsoever for me, but it's really helpful, and it's been helpful even in my branding so far with it.
Thanks, Jacob. And just one more plug. People can check out a free 30-day trial of Sprout at sproutsocial.com. It's great. I mean, you see if it's a good fit for you, and if we're not, then move along. So thanks, guys.
No. You're supposed to do this, by the way. Anytime you had a chance to mention the company, you didn't. You were authentic. You gave of yourself. And at the end, this is the place that, how do we reach you? What do you do? And this is the time where most people forget to put the URL of their company or forgot to put the, oh, my God, if you like what you see, come and play with us for 30 days for free, right? Mm-hmm. Nicely done. So
thank you.
You're doing a good job. Jacob, what do you think? How was the month? I loved it, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the AHA book.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that as well. I'm going to pull little pieces out of it and tweet them out and repurpose content kind of through my channels. And hopefully I'm going to look back, particularly when we really fine-tune which are the key points were, and pull those out and write content around those. Again, I don't really have anything to sell, so like you can just contact me through my email, jacob.warwick@gmail.com. My website's Think Warwick. I do copywriting, but again, I don't really know how to relate that to sales because I think really good content and copywriting doesn't always talk about the brand. It doesn't talk about sales. I've seen a lot of success with writing articles that just meet the needs of your audience. Not in one area doesn't mention the company you work for or anything, and they find you automatically. They connect with you on Facebook, or they'll want more information organically, and it's a really good tool for finding who's really interested and targeted without having to throw the spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks or whatever that expression is.
Well, I've got a lot of spaghetti I've been throwing on the wall, so I need Sprout Social. So I will absolutely check you out. There's such an interesting, and I didn't really feel that, I didn't know before that you had this feeling. Just came back from an immersive 3 days at an event. And there were so many people at the event that had a negative feeling towards the word money and a negative feeling towards the word sales and towards the word marketing. And for them, all they wanted to do is perform their craft. And, yeah, of course they wanted to get paid, but this money was this four-letter word that they didn't want to worry about, right? And so it's really interesting to me. I, the same is true with sales and marketing. And I think if I'm going to wrap up the month, I would think that, and particularly this session because you drove it home, Sarah, if you're authentic in who you are and if you have a company of authentic people of who they are, who truly are advocates for the company because they like the company, they like themselves, they like the people they're working with, you are drawn and attracted to that. So same sort of thing, Jacob, since you're your own company, if you listen to you talk and you like who you are and you're authentic at who you are, you don't have to sell anything, you just be you. And as a result of being you, people are attracted to you.
I
think that's what authenticity is.
I hope so, because I don't listen to myself talk. I'm scared. I've done a couple live shows lately, and I've done a podcast that's about to come live, and I'm kind of scared to listen to it because I don't know if I want to listen to myself talk. So God bless everyone for sticking with me. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes listen to myself because I think like you and I think Sarah, you're the same. I don't have any planned things. We just sort of speak and things out. So every now and then it's kind of nice to hear how I pulled my words together and pulled my stories together. And every now and then I'll listen to myself and said, hey, that was really good. I got to do that again. Cause you kind of forget. Anyhow, feel free. Go to thoughtleaderlife.com. This is the 114th episode. We have a lot of great content there. You can listen to it. You can watch it. We'll have pointers to, and actually we don't point to everything, but we're on SlideShare and YouTube if you want to watch the videos. We're on the podcast channel, the FIR Network. There's a lot of content there. And for every show that we have, every four or five shows, we pull together an aha book. So a lot of the content's already in this seven-second soundbite. And so what's interesting, you go to ahaamplifier.com and just type in a keyword you want to look at, and you'll get quotes from people around the industry that you could then use in your blogs and other things that you're writing. For me, Mitchell Levy, Google me and connect to me anywhere. Love to connect with you on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Happy to talk and communicate, and always looking for interesting co-hosts with good topics to cover, and I love this one. And sometime this year, we're going to focus on experiential marketing because
yes,
Jacob planted the seed and got me excited about it.
We're getting there.
Beautiful. Hey, well, Sarah, Jacob, thank you so much for joining me today. I loved it. Thank you, everyone in the audience, for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at the next episode of Thought Leader Life. Take care, everyone. You take care. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to FIR Presents Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. More information at www.reagan.com. In each episode, Mitchell interviews a thought leader or someone involved in thought leadership and shares best practices to tease out how to become an effective thought leader. Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast in the network is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediatereleaseinc.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR podcast community. Or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.